Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you give me this wonderful opportunity this morning, oh Father, Lord, to speak your word, oh Father. Father, I just like to dedicate myself, oh Father, Lord, my thoughts, my emotions, Lord, my soul, Lord, my spirit, oh Father, Lord. May it bow down to you, oh Father, Lord, in obedience, oh Father, Lord. May everything that I speak, oh Father, Lord, come from you, oh Father, Lord. Father, we ask the Lord, by your Holy Spirit, O Father Lord, you lead me and guide me, O Father Lord, to the message that you prepared this morning, O Father Lord. Father Lord, may everything that we do, O Father, glorify you in heaven, O Father Lord. For Lord, we live only for you, O Father Lord. For Lord, everything that we do, O Father Lord, is to exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, great. Are you ready for the message this morning? I hope it's going to be a short one. Right. So, today is the second day of September. We are already in the month of September. How time flies. And it's almost three quarters into year 2012. And, you know, almost every year, I believe, whether you're Christian or not, that we will start the year most of the time with some New Year resolutions, that things that we like to do, certain things that we like to achieve. Some of us resolve to perhaps spend more time with family. We aspire to exercise more, read more, eat healthier, further our education. Maybe we want to do more for the community, find a cause to defend, maybe take a new hobby, enjoy the outdoors more, maybe travel to some places we have never been or tell someone we love them, right? So there are many, many good things we could do with our time, or maybe if we have not achieved all those resolutions, there is still some time left for the rest of the year, right? So even maybe sometimes we take a little bit further to think what would we want to do for the rest of our lives, for the remaining time in our life. But if there are so many things that we can do or we can achieve in our life, but if we were to narrow it all down to perhaps maybe just one thing, right, if we can do just only one thing and concentrate on it for the rest of our lives, let us examine, I mean, what should that one thing be, right? When all is said and done, would you like to have the peace or the sense of satisfaction that comes from knowing you chose the right thing to do? And what would you think if I tell you by just doing one certain thing that all other important things in life would naturally come and fall in line, right? So what is this one thing that I like to talk about today? And the answer is found in the Bible, of course. And this is the words that I'm going to use, and then we are going to examine this morning. It's from the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 2. Right, in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 2, if you open your Bible and refer to it, from the King James Version, the original King James Version, it says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So this is the words that we are going to focus on today. So we observe just this simple one-line verse from the book of Colossians when Paul writes to the Colossian church, and in wrapping up his letter, this is what he says in chapter 4. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So we can observe from this verse here, there are three exhortations in the text concerned with prayer. Of course, this verse is about prayer. So there are three things. It's very obvious that you don't need to be a rocket scientist to pick it out. The first is continue, right? The second is watch. And the third is give thanks, right? So the first thing in regards to prayer, the Apostle Paul says, continue. So what does this mean? So if I just can just ask everyone here, how many of you pray? I'm sure everyone here will raise up their hands, correct now, right? All will raise up your hand. Because I also pray, everyone prays. I think perhaps the dogs also pray. But what if I ask you about the consistency of your prayer? Right? Prayer is not something which you need to do once in a while. It is not a custom, but more than that, it's a commandment of Jesus. If we desire to grow as a strong Christian, we have to look at the example that the first church at Pentecost, that 3,000 people, remember in the books of Acts, who were saved and baptized. If you can refer to Acts chapter 2, from verse 41 to 42, it says, It's in the book of Acts. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Take note on verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Right? So now watch, what this group of 3,000 over young Christians, what did they do? What this young Christian did? They continued steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. That means steadfastly in prayers. So Christians are not going to just, you know, pray one time and then leave it, or probably a few months later come and pray again when you have some problem. We are called to pray steadfastly. So what does steadfast mean? Steadfastly means be persistent. Be persistent, that means continually praying. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. Right? So that is a key component here, that is to continue. Right? Which is the first verse from Colossians 4 2. So now, many of us know, many Christians pray during the times of trials, when you are facing challenges, when you are facing problems in your daily lives, everyone can bend their knee and pray. Right? But when the periods of trial and temptation and challenge are over, we forget to pray. Isn't it? Right? We cease to pray when there seems to be any problem in our lives. So let us not be just pray for one moment and then become a sloth the next moment. Don't let our prayer to be like on and off like a roller coaster ride. Right? So we must actually continue in supplication and cease not to pray. Right? There is a great distinction between the prayer of a real convert or the merely convicted sinner. Right? If you are just a really convicted sinner, you are terrified by the law, you know, you are afraid of God and what he would do to you, perhaps you would only pray once and be done with it. But if you, for the real convert who really understands the mercies of God, with an awakened heart, you know, with the renewal of the Holy Spirit, this person or this new Christian would definitely continue and never ceases to cry for the mercies of God. Right? So this reminds me, I want to bring you back to a scene in the movie Titanic. Have anyone not seen the Titanic? Right? It's an old movie, it's an epic movie, instead. So it talks about this great ship that's supposed to be unsinkable, right? But, you know, it ran into a big iceberg, and of course eventually it sank, right? So after the sinking of the great ship, if you can remember, many passengers were all thrown into the sea. So there are some, you know, children and women who actually got into the lifeboat, right, while the ship is sinking. So some of the luckiest ones got into the lifeboat and they were on the boat instead of the icy cold water. And of course our hero of the story, if you can remember, is Jack. And the girlfriend Rose in the movie, if you can remember the really the scene that, you know, when Jack and Rose was clinging on to this little wooden plank trying to keep alive in the icy cold water. So in that same scene itself, you realize there are actually some other people on the lifeboat, and they are actually, you know, going around trying to look for survivors. Right, they are the lucky people in the lifeboat, they are looking around to see whether there are any survivors. So if you can remember in the movies, that, you know, this is when our hero in the movie, Jack, let go of the plank and allowed the lady Rose to, you know, swim towards the rescuers, the boats. Right? And then there's also this scene when Rose, you know, took out this whistle and blow to get the attention of the rescuer. Now imagine yourself, if you are in that boat, you are among the rescuer, you are scouting around looking for people, looking for signs of life among all the dead bodies, right? Then suddenly you hear a faint whistle sound. You would probably strain your ear and see whether you hear it another time. And then you hear another time, the whistle sound being blown. And then immediately you ask all your fellow buddies and say, let's go over there. I thought I heard some sound over there. There must be somebody alive over there. So let's just go there and rescue them. Right. So what this story tells us is actually the same. When we kneel down on our knees to pray to God, if we just pray only once, sometimes we would think whether we hear that correctly or not. We would perhaps doubt, like the rescuers. If you only listen to one time and no more, maybe they wouldn't even go forward and look for the survivors in the ocean. So it is the same with our prayer. We shouldn't be just praying once and stop. We should be praying unceasingly. Keep blowing the whistle. Keep praying out to God. Keep, you know, pleading with God with our prayers until He answers us. That's the way that we should pray. No, we should not be praying just only once, because sometimes a lot of Christians, they just pray once and they forget about it. They are not earnest. They are not striving. Right? So, the Church of God is the same. Can you imagine if the Church of God just pray 1 week, then the next week, we stop praying, then perhaps a few weeks later, we pray again, and then we stop praying. So, people would think that this church is not serious. It's not, I mean, that they don't have earnestness in their prayer. So, perhaps people will even say that this church is a hypocrite. How can be a church of God that doesn't pray? So continue in prayer. Do not pray once, right? And have done with it, but continue in it. So we should be steadfast, persistent praying all the time. Let us not just pray and pause. Pray and pause. Our spiritual state should not be like the unpredictable weather. Rainy one day, sunny the other. Rainy one day, and sunny the other, right? So do not let our church to have intermittent fits of health. Right? Not always earnest, not always busy. So, the key message is continue in prayer, not 1 week, but every week. Not for a season, but for all seasons. Be you always crying out unto the Lord your God. So, as Christians who constitute the church, we then ought to pray all the time. Right? We ought to learn to pray about everything. As we can look, refer to the chapter of Luke chapter 18 verse 1, this is where Jesus told his disciple, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. What does Jesus mean? Does he mean praying all the time? Yes, that would mean a Christian should ought to pray whenever and wherever and again, consciously, 100 times, 1,000 times. Just to get, until there's something going in their lives and until, you know, God answers the prayer. Right? So remember the words, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not to lose heart. So Paul also tells us in another, chapter in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. You can see the consistency of Paul say, continuing steadfastly in prayer. That is always mean to be alert in prayer. Right? So, does it ask us to just keep on praying? Yes. To continue steadfastly in praying. Of course, another two verses is, you can refer to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray without ceasing. And also in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Praying always with all the prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Right? So, you see, prayer is like the coal burning in the engine of a locomotive. Right? If there's no coal in the fire engine, I mean the engine of the locomotive, then the train would not move. Engine, right? It would not move. So the church, similarly, must continue earnestly in prayer. There should be has flaming fires both day and night. Only then, that when the church continue prayer earnestly, not stopping, that the church will prosper in her divine business, and the hard hearts of the people will melt before the fire of the Holy Spirit. Right? So continue in prayer and never let your fire go out. Okay? So in this matter, I always remember that sometimes we can really learn from our Muslim brothers and sisters. You know, how it is they are supposed to pray 5 times a day. And here in the church, perhaps we just ask people to come on Tuesday night for a prayer, and sometimes Friday night. Right? So, how many of us have that kind of discipline to be always continuing in prayer? Right? However, also understand the difference that we do not mean that man or people or every one of us here should leave our business, leave our work, or leave our responsibility, neglect our household so that we can come to pray. God actually doesn't say that. Right? Remember when Jesus, even our Lord, who was on earth, I mean, when he was preaching in Israel during the olden times, he also worked. He has his time of preaching, his time of praying, and also his time of working. Right? Our Lord Jesus Christ also have that kind of lifestyle. So it doesn't mean that, you know, as Christians or as Muslim or whatever, we should just be focusing and doing prayer every day. Because we know some people take that to the extreme. They just like to pray rather than work. They like to be in the church and praying. So God doesn't ask us to do that. God actually honors work and hard work. Right? God honors that. Right. So therefore, let no man forsake his calling which God has appointed him in his providence under the pretense of seeking the Lord. Because we cannot, and we can never stain one duty with the blood of another. So, it is quite possible that, we have to balance between our daily working lives and also in prayer. Right? It is also very possible that we continue in our labor. That's mean we continue in the work that we do every day, in our responsibility. Right? And yet, we also continue in the spirit of prayer. We may not be always in the exercise of prayer. I mean, we may not be always locking ourselves up in the church and not going outside there and just praying. We are not asked to do that. But we may not be in the exercise of prayer, but we can always be in the spirit of prayer. What does it mean? That means that we are always constantly conscious, have a prayerful heart in everything that we do, right? So it's the same like the fire engine, the locomotive that I've explained just now. They may not be always coal or what in the engine, you know, when the engine is stationary, but let that always be fire there, right? Keep on burning. And also if in another analogy, like the archer, we may not be always shooting arrows to heaven, right? But we must always keep the bow well string. We must always be ready, right? So we may not always be archers, right? I mean, always shooting the arrow, but we can always be archers. So shall you always be men of prayer, though not always in the exercise of praying. Now next we come to the question, why should the church continue in prayer? Right? Let us examine it. Why should we continue in prayer? The first and most obvious reason is because God will answer the prayer. Right? See, our God is a wonderful God. It is not possible. That means it's impossible for God to reject our prayers who are based on his promises and altered on faith. Right? You see, our God is the creator of this world. He can reverse the nature. He can cause the sun not to go up and he can cause rain not to fall. But he cannot reverse his own nature. Right? He cannot do that. Right? So the prayer of God is actually, the prayer of the church is actually God's intention. How do we go about that? Because God, we know God, being the creator God of this world, he writes in the book of his decrees, right? He has decreed certain things to happen in this world. He has decreed certain things not to happen in this world. But during the process of time, he also reveals his will to the people, to the church, and he also writes his decree into the hearts of the Christians. Let me pick up one example, how this happened, right? It's just like, being guided by the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. Being guided by the Holy Spirit, that it actually means, like, for instance, when the church come together and pray for salvation, Why would the church come and pray for salvation? Because God has decreed in His will that man should be saved. So it is actually His will being written to the hearts of the Christian. So that's when Christian prays for salvation, is actually God's will. Because God has determined that man should be saved. So therefore, do not think lightly of your prayer that come out of your mouth. Because pray when God inspires you, because your prayer is as potent as the decrees of God. It is as if you are praying the will of God when God inspire you to pray. So remember this, God will and must answer the prayer of the church. This is not child's play, it is through the prayer of the church that God will answer. Right? So even though we may not receive the answer to our prayer immediately when we pray, but we should always focus on the vision of the prayer and not on the person whom you are praying for. So after all, we also remember that it is not us who change the circumstances, right? It is God who does the change. If you remember the first miracle that Jesus did, what is the first miracle that Jesus did? Turn wine into water into wine. Water into wine. Remember when he asked his disciple or the people that just to pour, take out the water and pour into the, what do you call it? The vase, is it? The jars. Come to think of it, do you know that, you know, when the disciples scoop up the water and pour it into the jar, would they know that it will actually turn into wine? They wouldn't know. Is it because that they do this act of pouring in that it becomes wine? No, also. It is only when you keep pouring and you have the faith, because God asks you to do that, you keep pouring and you keep pouring and you keep pouring until it fills up to the brim, and you see what comes up is wine. So that is the same with our prayer. We just have to keep praying and keep praying. It's not because of us. We just pray in faith. We have to just keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. And in the end, it is only God who works. So remember that analogy. Just keep pouring the water into the jar. Keep pouring water into the jar. And one day, your water will turn into wine. Right? So God wants us to have that kind of faith, to keep pouring, so that, you know, we will draw out the answer of prayers into our home. So we know, in every one of us right now, you know, we have challenges in our life. We have accusation, we have shortage in our life. Right? It's just like the house in Cana. They are lacking. They are lacking of wine. In our family as well. Certain things, we are facing problems, we are lacking certain things in our life, in our family. So what God asks us to do? To just keep praying. Earnestly praying. Keep pouring water into the empty vessel. Pray with tears. God is going to fill your shortage. For God hears you, and He will surely answer you. Right? Remember that. God will answer the prayers. Secondly, why should the church pray? Is it because by the church prayer, the world will certainly be blessed. Right? So we know the world here, I mean the physical world that we are staying in here, it's a fallen world. It's so full of sin. It's under the authority or command of the enemy. Right? A lot of things are under his, the devil's command. So we have this fire of sin everywhere. And what is the church of God to do? The church of God is supposed to come together and pray to quench those sins, to quench those flames. So whenever we meet together and we come earnestly in prayer, we are fighting against the sins of fire. We are fighting against the flame that's burning up this world. Right? If the church stops praying, then the flame will be burning even stronger. Right? It's just like the fireman putting out the fire. If you stop, you know, spraying water over it, the fire will rise up. So it is like that for the church. When the church keeps praying and all churches unite to pray, that's where the fire of the sin will mellow down. Because the church is pouring water on the fire of sin. Right? So that's why never cease our intercession. or our slack, or become slack in our effort because the flame will get the upper hand of us. So therefore, let us continue earnestly in prayer so that there should be a new heaven and a new earth where dwells righteousness. To stop means to give up the world to the devouring evil. Continue then in prayer till the world is wholly saved and Christ is our universal King. So we should continue in prayer. It's because we are praying for God and we are praying against sin, praying against the enemy in this world. Right? That's the second point. The third point, why church should continue in prayer. The third point is very important also, is because the souls shall be saved. Right? The church of God should continue in prayer so that more souls will be saved. So we have to press on, we have to pray unceasingly for the unsaved. Right? This is one single thing that everybody here can do. Right? Even for the women or the those who are sickly or lying in your confined to the bed, or those with children to take care of, or even those well advanced in age. Not every one of us can go out there and do missionary work every day or go into the deep jungles to reach out to people. But all of us can pray. Every one of us, even children, they can pray. So this is the important thing. Not everyone of us are called to be missionary outside of the church, to step up to, you know, to go to the hard grounds, to preach to people. Right? Not every one of us is asked to do that. But every one of us has a responsibility. Every one of us has the capability to pray for saved souls. That Lord, so, but of course, we remember it is not us, but the divine grace of God should do the work for salvation. But in spite of that, it is our worst responsibility to become workers of God. Right? So remember that. And the fourth point is, why should the church continue in prayer? Is because prayer is a great weapon of attack against the error and wickedness of the world. Right? It's just like, I'm going to bring up another analogy of movies. Remember the great epic movie Lord of the Rings? Right, you know, I think there's a three different movies in that, in that trilogy. So, Lord of the Rings and some of those epic movies you see, there's a scene inside there, how we describe it is storming the castle. So you have all these soldiers surrounding this castle, in the movie and the soldiers trying to storm the castle, trying to take over this castle of the enemy. So it is the same in our Christian life in this world, right? So what is this castle? This is the castle of sin. The castle of sin that is built by Satan, the prince of this world, right? And what are all the army, all the warriors? Those are the Christians, right? So the Christians are surrounding this castle of sin and trying to break down the castle of sin. Right? So if you see the movie, you'll probably see how they are, you know, attacking the castle and how they're trying to overtake the castle. And then usually they will bring along this huge, what they call a battering ram. You know, it's one huge log and you're gonna knock it against the castle door. Right? One knock, you don't, perhaps don't feel any effect. Come a second knock, also perhaps not much. Right? So what if I tell you the warriors in the movie, they just knock once, knock twice, and they say, "Ah, yeah, forget about it. It doesn't seem to work. We don't want to keep on knocking anymore." And then they leave and go. So if we have that kind of thoughts, or we work in that way, obviously the castle of sin will not come down. But if we use the battering ram and we keep on knocking and knocking, that means we keep on praying and attacking. Use this weapon of prayer to attack against the enemy. We keep on knocking and knocking. Surely one day, the castle of sin will come down. Right? Surely one day. So we should not be discouraged. We should not give up. We must keep pushing. We must continue in prayer. We must keep storming the gates with the battering ram until one day the evil of this world is defeated and the kingdom of the world will have become the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So that is the thing. The first exhortation in Colossians 4:2. continue in prayer. Don't just pray but once, but continue earnestly, unceasingly. That is the method. That is the right way of praying. Okay? I'm sure everyone is clear on that. So what is the second exhortation here? Continue, then watch. Right? So second exhortation here is watch. Oh, I love this message. It's very easy, like ABC. Right? Continue in prayer and watch in the same. Right? So the word watch here refers to both the physical and also the spiritual. Right? So in the physical, the word watch would mean, you know, it could mean keep the night watches, stay awake at night to pray. That's what we do on Friday nights, right? We stay overnight in an overnight watch. Right? Sometimes we do that. It's because we want to set aside the time for praying. Sometimes we just want to set aside a time and not do anything and come before the throne of grace and bring our supplications to them, to God. So this is one way of doing. Right? Because we want to set aside this time. Sometimes we are just too engrossed in sleeping. Right? We are just too engrossed with the cares of the world. So, there ought to be certain times set aside to pray. Right? So, maybe you ought to have a regular place of prayer. And we do. Right? We come to church here in this sanctuary to pray. We pray every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Right? And then every alternate Fridays we come together for overnight prayer as well. So, despite of this, there ought to be, beside this time, that sometimes we don't do anything but pray, right? So, it is something like, again, I brought this up earlier, an example, you know, when you are single, you're happily going about doing your own business, but suddenly you met this beautiful lady or this handsome young man whom you like, you fancy very much, and you fall in love with him or her, right? Then you got yourself a girlfriend or you got yourself a boyfriend, and what do? You obviously would naturally spend more time with him or her, either on the telephone, right, on your SMS, or I bet most of the time you probably just go and visit this newfound girlfriend or boyfriend of yours. Right, you go out together, you set aside time to be with your loved ones. So it's the same with God. When we love God, we have to set aside time. We have to set aside time and a place, you know, to just worship Him, to just pray to Him, and to just be in His presence. Yeah, that's the word, to be in His presence. As much as you like to be in the presence of your loved ones, right, you also would like to be in the presence of God, right? So it is the same with the relationship with God, right? Remember, we should always take God with us and keep our heart crying to Him and pleading with God and rejoicing in the Lord in whatever else thing we do. Men always ought to pray and not lose heart, right? So, even we can see in Ephesians 6, right, the very popular chapter, you know, when it says, start in the beginning of Ephesians 6, you know, put on the whole armor of God, right? And in the end of that particular few verses, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Watch, for you will soon be drowsy if you do not watch. So the church, brothers and sisters, is not meant to be drowsy, half awake, or worse, sleeping. Can you imagine a church that is sleeping church? Are we a sleeping church? I don't think so. Right? I believe there are members of the church who are thoroughly awake. But they are few. Unfortunately. It happens to all churches. Right? So, to watch means to be aware. It also means to be conscious, right? So many churches come together to pray. They are in the exercise of prayer, but not many of them are awake, right? What does it mean to be awake? They are not awake to the world's necessities. They are not awake to the Christ's glory. They are not awake to what's happening in the community, in the world, right? They are also not awake to the power of the gospel. And they are not awake to their own responsibility as a church, right? So they do come to pray, but in fact they are asleep. They are only in the exercise of prayer. So, brothers and sisters, let us not be a sleeping church, but let us be a watchful church, Right? So, watch also. Because as soon as we begin to pray, there will be enemies who will come and attack. Right? So when the church starts to pray earnestly, the enemy will also be attacking earnestly. So therefore, watch. That is another aspect of watching. Right? So, if you have the opportunity to visit China, to visit the Great Wall of China, I think this mighty archaeological ruins, what do you call it? Yeah, it has been more than 2 or 3,000 years history. I think the Great Wall of China. I believe all those of you who haven't visited that, you will have heard about it, you have seen the picture of the Great Wall of China. So what is this Great Wall of China? It's actually been built during, I don't know which dynasty was that, Chinese kingdom. It was being built along, across China to protect China from the attacks of the enemy from the north. Right, which is the barbarians and the Mongolians and whatever. This is during the ancient times. So the king actually built all this great wall as the first line of defense. Right. If you notice also, on this Great Wall of China, I don't know how they built it. I think also probably 1 million people has actually been sacrificed in building this Great Wall. Along this Great Wall, you see a lot of watchtowers. Right, short distance there will be a watchtower, and what does this watchtower do? On every one of this watchtower, there is actually a watchman inside there, and the watchman is always keeping awake, keeping a lookout for the enemy, keeping a lookout for the presence of the enemy. And what do they do when they see the enemy from far away? You know what they will do? They will immediately light up the beacon. Right, they'll light up the beacon. And from one watchtower, when the beacon is being lighted up, the next tower, when they see this, they will light up their beacon. And then the next, and the next. So in a short period of time, you see all the beacons along this watchtower are being lighted up. And in the army, what do you do is when you see all this line of beacon being lighted up, that means the enemy is at hand. That's where you rise up, you take up your weapon, and you get ready to face the enemy. Right? So it is also the same in the Church of God. Right? The Church of God needs to be guarded with this watchtower of intercessors. Intercessors that come together and pray day and night to look out for the attack of the enemy. For the enemy will surely come. He may not come when we are prayerless, but he will surely come when we are prayerful. So, the church have to be aware of this also, have to have this watchman to be always watchful in prayer. Also, you should also not forget that church should watch out for opportunities of doing good. Right? So, sometimes when we pray, we have one eye to heaven seeking help, but we also must have the other eye looking on earth to look out for opportunities to do good. That is when we pray, we will be inspired by God, we will be inspired by the Holy Spirit to act, to do His will, to become part of His decree, to become part of His plan for the nation, for the city, for the church. You will not know all this unless you pray. You will not know all this unless you ask and communicate with God on the purpose of the church, on the purpose of the city and the nation and the things. Right? So that is the reason that we come to pray. Right? It's just like, you know, God does not always send the Spirit to blow with the same force. But although we cannot make the wind blow, we can spread the sails. So when the Spirit of God blows, we can spread the sails and we can sail together with the command of the Spirit. That's what happened. Right? So we must be ready. Sometimes when there's a revival happening or there's a great pouring out of the Spirit in a certain city in a certain way, if we do not pray, if we do not connect to the Spirit, we will not know. And we will not know, we will be left out of that. And you seriously do not want to be in a church who is sleeping. Right? So, we have to be earnestly in prayer and be watchful of all this. Be watchful of what God is doing. Be watchful. Right? Another interesting thing to note also is we should watch for the answers to your prayer. Right? This is quite interesting, because a lot of times people pray, then they forget about it. What I mean is they pray and they don't expect an answer to the prayer. They just pray and forget. So it's like we shouldn't be like that, because when we pray, we must always expect God to answer that prayer. It's just like when you send a text message to a friend asking for some help, asking for a favor, you would just look at the phone and wait for him to reply, isn't it? It's either yes or no, right? Similarly, when you pray, expect it to be answered, right? God says in the Bible, ask and you shall receive. If you ask and not receive, it will be amazing. Because God says, seek and you shall find. If you seek and do not find, it is not only not amazing, it's contradictory to the word of God. Because the church of God just need to ask and it shall receive. The church of God only needs to knock and the door of mercy shall open. Right, brothers and sisters, do you believe God will actually listen to our prayer? Right? It is written in the Bible. I believe many one of us also testify that also, you know, whatever we ask in prayer, believing, we shall receive. Right? So the fact is, my brothers and sisters, the answer to our prayer are always on the way while we are asking. Sometimes they come while we are yet speaking, but sometimes they are delayed, right? Perhaps they are delayed is because we are not praying the way that we should. So perhaps God will hold back His mercy at times. But even when He holds back His mercy, when He eventually give it to you, He will give you back with interest, right? So we are never losers by His delay. We are always gainers, right? So we must not ever believe that God doesn't answer our prayer, because He would answer our prayers. We must not even think that He is forgetful or unmindful of our prayer. The true believers pleading Christ's names and sacrifice and asking in faith must and shall receive that what He asks of God. So do not be surprised when God answers your prayer. You should not. Right? So when we plead earnestly with God, and if He does answer our prayer, it is because because we have not asked right. Because when we ask right, correct, when we ask in the right way, God will surely hear us and He will surely answer our prayer. This is not just a good idea, it is a fact. Right? It's a fact that God answers prayer. So it is as certain as like when you ask a friend for a favor, or you ask a question, He will surely answer you. So our God, when you pray to our God, He will also surely answer us. Right? I'm sure a lot of us here have experienced how God answers our prayer and can come up and give testimonies to that. So open our eyes, look out for the blessings. So do not just sow the seed and forget to reap. Do not just sow and do not reap the harvest. So if we believe in prayer at all, expect God to hear us. If we do not expect, right, we will not have it. God will not hear us unless we believe and that He will answer us. So, like God said, if we believe He will surely be good as our faith. So that is the thing. We should continue in prayer, right, and we should be always watchful. And the third and the final point is give thanks. That's the very simple thing. Right? Give thanks. What does it mean by giving thanks? Giving thanks means to express joy and gratitude of His mercies upon our lives. Right? A lot of churches are very good in praying. Right? They have days of prayer, they have months of prayer, they have year of prayer, right? A lot of churches are very earnest in prayer, right? They come together, they bow down on their knees, they cry their tears out, cry their hearts out in prayer and prayer, prayer, continue. I mean, that is very good. But we should also not forget to praise Him. to be thankful to Him, to just give thanks, to give our gratitude to God, right? So, we have days of prayers. At the same time, we also must have days of praise, when we really come together as a church, you know, as a body of Christ, to just really worship God, sing to Him, exalt Him, right? It should be a joyful moment. It should be a happy moment for everyone because God's answered our prayer and we are saved, right? So picture this, because we should not always be very pitiful, coming to God, pleading with all tears in our eyes, crying out, right? As if God doesn't want to answer our prayer. Because He's not that, right? Okay, imagine yourself, maybe you're walking on the street one day, going on your daily errands, and then you see this beggar, reaching out to ask for a penny, perhaps, and you give him a penny, and then suddenly this beggar is very happy, very joyful. I mean, wouldn't that somehow rather give you joy also? Because you know when you give that little to this beggar, and he's so thankful and he's so joyful to receive what you've given him. Right? So it is the same with God. When God blesses us, when God answers our prayer, He doesn't want to see our sulky face. He wants to see a joyful face. He wants to see a thankful face. So it's the same. You know, when we give this little to the beggar and you see so much joy because of this small thing that you give to him, you will feel like you want to give more, isn't it? Right? So it is the same. When we pray to God and He answers us, we must be joyful. So when we are joyful, God is willing and He is really happy to give you more. Right? So that is the concept, right? So come not, brothers and sisters, come not before God with a sorry face as though He has never heard you before. Right? Because God is as pleased to give you His blessing as ever as you are to receive it, right? He takes more pleasure in your prayers than you do in His answers. So come therefore boldly, come before Him with thankfulness in your heart, upon your lips, and join in the hymn of praise with a cry of prayer. Be thankful for what God has done. Thank Him for the past, and pray for the future. That's the thing. You know, when we remember what God did in our lives, in our past, right? So that is where we come up with the joy and the gratitude. And we remember Him. And when we remember, because He is faithful, we can continue in prayer and keep asking when we pray for the future. So that is the whole sum up of the three things that is regarding prayer from what we learned this morning in Colossians 4:2, right? So that is to continue in prayer. That means pray unceasingly and watch in the same. Why should we watch? Because we are watching out for the mercies of God. We are watching out for the sins of this world. Right? Prayer is a weapon. Right? We must watch for answered prayers as well. Right? We must be watchful of the things that's happening in the world. We must be always awake and sensitive and not sleeping. Right? Finally, is to give thanks. To give thanks. To praise Him. To praise our wonderful God. To have that gratitude. So this sums up the whole thing that I believe is one of the very important thing that we do in our lives. So, brothers and sisters, devote yourself to prayer, right? If you want your life to be different, if you want to have peace and a sense of satisfaction that comes from just doing one thing and knowing that you choose the right thing, this is it. Right? Devote yourself to prayer. If you want to know the joy that comes from doing something you may have been or meeting and seeing the hopes and dreams for your spiritual life and the communion with God become a reality, this is what you should do. Do this one thing. Devote yourself. Devote yourself to prayer. Right? So brothers and sisters, that's the thing. Get alone this week. Spend time with God. Pray for your children. This week, pray for your parents. Pray for your neighbors this week. Right? Pray for your colleagues at work. Pray for the city. Pray for this nation. Put God to the test, brothers and sisters. See if He does not open the windows of heaven upon you. Right? So be much in prayer and you will be much blessed. Remember, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. That's my message for today. A short one. I hope every one of you get something out of it. And do continue in prayer. Alright, thank you.